Kovac pulled his pistol from under his windbreaker and said to Bergman, "Go out and find 6 or 7 women. I don't care if they're passengers or crew. Bring them back here as quickly as you can. Also, go to my cabin and bring the rest of our weapons." Before Bergman could inevitably ask for an explanation, Kovac added, "Tom Severance is dead. The plan is ruined, and the people responsible for it are on that freighter. Go!"
"Yes, sir."
The Serb locked the bridge door before threading a silencer onto the end of his automatic and dispassionately shooting the 2 crewmen and 1 of the bridge officers. The soft reports were drowned out by the blaring air horns, so the second officer didn't know what was going on until he stepped in off the flying bridge and saw the bodies. He had time to look to Kovac before 2 crimson blooms appeared on his starched white uniform shirt. His jaw worked silently for a moment before he collapsed against a bulkhead and slumped to the deck. Suspecting that the operatives on the freighter were going to throw a line onto the cruise ship to send over a boarding party, Kovac stepped up to the controls. There was a dial to order more or less speed from the ship's engines, and a simple joystick to turn the rudder. Maneuvering such a massive vessel was as easy as steering a fishing smack. He cranked the throttle to maximum and veered the ship away from the rusted-out freighter. The Golden Sky was only a few years old, and while she was built for luxury more than speed, he was supremely confident he could outrun the derelict. They started to pull ahead, easily outpacing the freighter, but only for a few moments. It, too, put on a burst of speed and exactly mirrored his turn. Kovac was dismayed that a ship that looked ready to dissolve into a rust stain could move so swiftly. He checked the throttle control and noticed that if he pulled the dial upward, he could draw what was called emergency power. He did, and watched their speed continue to increase. Looking across the bridge, he saw the freighter slowly falling back. Kovac grunted with satisfaction. It would take an hour or two to put enough distance between the ships for them to stop so he could lower a lifeboat, but it didn't matter. As if the freighter were toying with him, the big merchantman inexorably accelerated to match his speed and once again positioned itself no more than 30 feet off the Golden Sky's beam. A quick glance confirmed the cruise ship was pounding across the flat sea at 36 knots. There was no way the freighter should be able to achieve that speed, let alone maintain it. Kovac's frustration quickly morphed into rage. There came a sharp burst of automatic fire from the corridor behind the bridge, followed by a chorus of high-pitched screams. He rushed to the wheelhouse's sole entrance and threw back the bolt, his pistol at the ready. The ship's captain lay in a widening pool of blood on the carpeted deck, and 4 other officers cowered along the passageway. They must have tried to rush Bergman when he returned. Behind them, his assistant had 7 women huddled in abject terror.
"Inside, now!"
Kovac snarled and gestured with his weapon for the women to enter the bridge. They moved in a tight cluster under Bergman's watchful eye, tears streaming down their cheeks.
"Stop this at once!" the senior-most officer demanded.
Kovac shot him in the face and closed the bridge's thick metal door. He grabbed one of the women, a dark-haired beauty he recognized was a waitress from the dining room, and raced back to the helm. He positioned her between him and the stalking freighter as a human shield in case they had snipers. He noted that the merchantman had narrowed the gap even more.
"I believe the game is called chicken," he said to no one in particular, and savagely pushed the rudder control to port.
At this speed, the ship responded nimbly, and her bow came over. It slammed into the side of the freighter with a titanic scream of tearing metal. The impact heeled the ship to starboard, staggering Kovac, who had braced for it. The bow railing was crushed in, and the 2 ships grated against each other. A dozen balconies for the most expensive cabins were torn away, while all over the ship, passengers and crew were thrown to the deck. There were injuries throughout the vessel, though nothing more severe than a few broken bones. Kovac turned the ship away from the scene of impact. The freighter turned with him, but kept a much wider separation this time, its captain obviously leery of another collision. He wasn't sure what inspired him, but Kovac had a sudden idea to end this quickly. Leaving the helm position, he yanked one of the dead officers from the floor and walked the corpse outside, with one hand on the officer's belt and the other on the back of his neck, so it appeared he was walking on his own. Kovac paused for a second to make sure the men on the other ship had a chance to see him before rushing the flying bridge rail and heaving the body over. He ducked behind the rail and couldn't watch the body fall the 100 feet to the sea, but he was certain his opponents had. Kovac knew they wouldn't let an innocent man drown, and it would take them at least an hour to rescue him. He liked the irony that they would be forced to give up their pursuit for a dead man.